Blog Talk Radio.
Creeping up on the Ides of March. It's we've just passed the International Day of Women, and it's a statement and a reminder of our capacity to correct ourselves, to be able to move on. Not so obsessed with the fragility of the male ego, but redefining our potential and redefining our strength to include and at every measure to re-examine the way women have been situated in our cultures, many cultures. The slower start today is a reflection of the fact that in where I am, we've moved the clocks forward an hour to an Eastern Daylight Savings Time. It's funny, you know, that I have a lot of media, a lot of people around me ready to tell me what annoys me and why I should be annoyed about it. And even if I'm not too concerned about it, an issue or a point, they'll go ahead and make that point for me. And then make it very clear that if I don't agree that it is an issue, that there's something fundamentally wrong with me. This has happened so often that I have quite a library of such mistakes where I don't necessarily agree with the rashness or presumptions of a lot of these rascals. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure many of you listeners from around the world that tune in have shared that understanding. Freemasonry, let me just say here, it's a bit of an anecdote, isn't it? It's an anecdote to those who believe that we're easily governed if we can be kept ignorant. Well, I would say that's true. Don't teach a child the language he's easily led around. Of course, it's difficult to communicate with a child, but here we have our cultures, our peoples everywhere are becoming better educated and informed about what's going on around. And unfortunately, we're seeing that our political, the gentry, our politicians are falling short of expectations. Not to be unkind here, though. What we are expecting is for our leadership to get out ahead of problems. And that requires a certain degree of vision and intelligence, and in some cases, I think that rare commodity, that genius. We find that very intolerable when we discover it, but we revel in it when, in hindsight. We find that leaders will use force, you know, use berating, belittling the opposition, you know, the straw man arguments. They'll use some fallacious arguments. They'll appeal, have celebrities appeal on their behalf, as if a celebrity is in any way equipped to speak about, you know, the science of global warming or the existential threat, the isms, changing the isms. Here we're still a product, but yeah, believe it or not, we're still influenced tremendously by the propagandists of the First and Second World Wars. Think of the isms: capitalism, communism, socialism. Those things are toxic. They're toxic. And when we talk about them, often our leaders are pounding their fists, their little fists on the desk, not a real clue about what it is those things mean in the objective or academic sense. I come from a place, and I'm part of an order where sharing is important, and we use as a guide a sense of compassion. Oh, I'm sure it's not as clear as that, no. There are always backgrounds and influences that modify our decisions, and that is what it is. We're aware, but it's curious that in some places, in where I am, we were there before service clubs were quite prevalent. We were there in these cultures and came from those cultures. We offered a sense of an expression of benevolence and support, and we echo the sentiments of the guilds in doing that, and we romanticize the notions of the guilds. Life was hard for tradesmen in the past, but we don't talk about that part. We want to know about their capacity, their bonding, and their willingness to accept the need to accept controls. Well, so we know that our roots had something to do with economics and survival and control of secrets. The secrets were created so that we could control them, control the understanding of geometry, so that when, and it makes a difference, if you don't mind, if you and I are laying the foundation for a cathedral, I want to know that I've got a person that's got some experience at hand and is quite capable. Experience is one thing. Capability is the other. Can you do it? And show me. Show us. And so that requires effort. So we want to see these people that come forward with some elements of effort, some way of demonstrating that they can put their shoulder to the wheel and get on with it. We've blurred the lines, though, between service clubs and Freemasonry for a long time. Part of that, I think, comes from the way that Masonry has grown from the middle on, rather than from the gentry. You know, if we're looking strictly at London as the root, which I don't necessarily. I know that I look at London as this, for the sake of this phenomena, and I love the controversy around it and the way we're dusting things off and re-examining questions. I love that. I also love the antiquities of the legitimacy, in a sense, of what was going on in Scotland and Ireland and the Germanic states. You know, we don't see that expressed so much anymore. When we're going about our business, we're effecting work by making donations, whether we're visible about it or not, all too often today, we seem to be craving attention. We want to bring some attention to it, which mystifies me. Don't know how we can go from where we were to that, without giving up some of the intrigue and mystery, some of the discovery. Instead of people discovering what we're about, we want to tell them. But doesn't that give you a moment to pause and wince a little bit? If I was the master of the universe for one day, for one moment, I would want the things that we do to have to express a Masonic value. Masonic value. Now that doesn't mean the value itself, but the Masonic value. What would be the difference between making a donation to something that came from a service club and came from a Masonic lodge? We've given that a bit of thought here on Masonic Effects. Today we'll grow on you today. We have the poetry of Percy Shelley. We have the music of Kenny Dorham and Ron Carter and Bill Evans and McCoy Tyner. If anything, we're going to try and put you in a decent frame of mind, as if that's possible. Continuous efforts, not strength or intelligence. That's the key to unlocking our potential. No, that's not an original thought. Very little here. Very few original thoughts going through my imagination anymore. Here, sit back. This is a little fragment. Freddie Hubbard, Joe Henderson, and McCoy Tyner. Check it out. I'm McCoy Tyner Trio, Freddie Hubbard, Joe Henderson. That's Joe Henderson on sax and Freddie Hubbard on horn. See, it's an interesting example, I think. What happens when everybody leans in, everybody is free, there's a truth to their music, and it just flows. It's like you get the... I don't think it's so corny. I don't to compare to see parallels with our Masonic order. Where it flows, it is absolutely amazing. But we don't have we've left so much unsaid. We have a ritual almost formed as if it's a. I don't know. It's more than a dogma. It's more than thou shalt, everybody shall, a uniformity. This is an aesthetic. That part of the narrative hasn't happened. Aesthetics, there's a set of principles that's concerned about the nature and appreciation of beauty, especially in art. And that's a complete branch of philosophy. It deals with the principles of beauty and artistic taste. You and I, we start to talk about this. We see a lot of eyes rolling. It's because I think done an unfairness. We haven't really explained why and what and before we've plunged into the how, and you have to. And it's stunning. Just the way those musicians we just heard were leaning into their work. That was something that you can't make a person do. You can't guilt them into that. That's something that the person is feeling and sensing and acknowledging that inspiration. And acknowledging that the material that they're learning, that the capacity to share that with other musicians on the stage, that draws them, that feeds them. Masonry has that same appeal, but we need to be able to explain or illustrate that a bit better than we have. The ritual is our way, good ritual, comfortable ritual, respectful ritual, is our way of expressing manners to our guests. Good manners, I hope. Not by rank or your individual significance, but as a sense of the hospitality, the kind of joie de vivre of the Cayley, or where I came from, the hospitality of the farm kitchen, where you sat around the table and talked, and were welcomed. We're welcomed, unless you were sort of a blatant misfit. You really had to work hard. It was even a place for that. But it demonstrated a hospitality and a charm. The ritual does that for a Masonic. The aesthetic, like the murals on our walls, the plinths with the busts of great minds. They're the way that we speak to each other in symbols, the way that we become develop a symbolic role within masonry and for the cultures wide and narrow around us. So let that hopefully prime the pump for the show today, the aesthetics of Freemasonry. This is an unexpressed aspect that puzzles me. When I complete this, maybe you can give me some feedback. I always rely heavily on your genius because I either didn't start with much or I've wasted it away. It's difficult to compare Upper Canada to the old cultures that gave birth to us. History teaches us of a convention that injects ancient references into contemporary developments to borrow on the gravitas of time. It brings legitimacy, answering as it does a question before it is being asked. It appeals to sentimental familiarity. Unless people are aware of the convention, it sways opinion. Branding, creating markets, filling a need, simply peace of mind by targeted advertising. Tell us something we want to hear so we can accept a product. In Upper Canada, the engine of Freemasonry gave us legitimacy, but little else. The engine. If we settle for good enough, we should probably stop using superlatives to describe our goals. We don't have cultural monuments in our towns. No boards show where a king slept on a given night. No ancient battlefields. No evidence of Roman occupation. Westminster, St. Paul's, the Ashmolean, the Victoria and Albert are way over there, out of sight. Not a hinge in sight. Our aesthetics are not urbane. Public displays of art often come from the can of a graffiti artist than the hands of a sculptor or landscape architect. If we assume in our mind that lodges are where we find expressions of medieval aesthetics merging with modernism, we've fallen a little short. If we held our lodges in monuments to architectural genius, one would want to think the performance of ritual would be spellbinding. We would expect to sit with men who have a scholar's grasp of masonry with the humility and dignity of a gentleman. We are in a weakened state if we hold to the notion that the zenith of masonry is behind us. We become at best a reenactment, a pastiche that confounds the honest moments of our progress. It will never be any better until we strive as a fraternity to achieve better. Not because it is better or that is worse, but because it is antithetical to do any less. Thank you. Share with you some work by Percy Shelley. He was a major English romantic poet. Romanticism was a term that was given to these group of poets that were writing about the aesthetic. Nature and beauty. And he's said to be one of the finest lyric and philosophical poets in English literature. But he died tragically. He drowned. He's very old. Wasn't very old, but he left a mark with his work. And he's worthy. His work is considered worthy and illustrative of the language and the culture, and of a sentiment that extends beyond cultures, has a universality to it. This is a short poem. It's referred to as it's considered one of his best, Music When Soft Voices Die. Yeah. I think you'll see what I'm getting at in a minute. Just why it seems to fit. Music, when soft voices die, vibrates in the memory. Odors, when sweet violets sicken, live within the sense they quicken. Rose leaves, when the rose is dead, are heaped for the beloved's bed, and so thy thoughts, when thou art gone, love itself shall slumber on. Love itself. Masonry has all of these characteristics, qualities to it. No need to shy away, although we approach, some men will approach these types of things only in the privacy of their own thoughts. We'll feel it either unmanly or unseemly to ask questions, as if it puts into doubt the veracity of their own lifestyle. That somewhere along the line, as little boys, we were taught that there are certain things that we ought not to do in order to fulfill expectations. We often were raised with a stereotype in mind, and sometimes we live as if we need to fulfill that stereotype, the drama, the risk here is when we begin to, the risk to that sort of fragile reality, as I think it, is when we begin to question. Masonry, if nothing else, is an engine that inspires us to question, to reason things through. That's what principles help us to do. Ethics help us to do. And the goals, the framework for a lifestyle is put there, but it's not ordered. It's not uniform. It's not an authority. My goodness. Far from it. It's that pathway. It's like a little map that slipped into your hand. And it takes a great long time to understand that joining the dots takes us somewhere. But to begin to join the dots requires a certain, what, either that sense of despair or that reluctance or that je ne sais quoi. Here, just do it. I can't. What have we got to lose? It can't get any worse. Or somebody clinging, saying, this is a mess. This isn't, I mean, you know, things are a train wreck. I need to pull my socks up. Masonry doesn't give us the anecdote. It doesn't give us the answer. It gives us a way of finding it. Think about it. It's like the music that we're listening to here isn't a script. Follow this music and put these, although you could break it down. The math is there. The scholarship is there. But what we see with these jazz musicians is that something that's referred to as, what, innovation? That spontaneity? That's, you have to be brave to do that. You're putting it out there and you're thinking, well, gee, I don't know if this works or not. If you want inspiration, maybe it'll help you to think about, you know, the comments of, and I'm not too sure, you know, I'll find out who said this, but it was like there was no wrong note when you played with Miles Davis, because no matter, just think about that, no wrong note. I could get up there, sit down at the piano and hit a key, and it was not wrong because he was so talented and, what's the word, genius. There's things about his lifestyle that were damaging, but the music, everything fit, everything. Everything was like next. It was everything that I could play would be a start. Everything you could play, imagine, no wrong note. And not only that, but from our beginning, that one note, whatever it would be, he could make it inspired. He could make it inspired. Here. This is little Ken Dorham, Kenny Dorham, getting passed away. Mr. Dorham passed away in 1998, but check this out. Talk about leaning in. Whew, yeah. Thank you. Funny that, eh? Kenny Dorham. Nice work, boys. I like to think that it comes together like that when I see the production, the protocol, and ritual come together. Yeah. But then again, as you know, I'm part of that that worldview that extends what William Preston's third lecture notes suggest into a context that works for me. It's contrary to the way that I was taught when I was a child. I got, wait, you mean I just had one of those aha moments. Maybe this is what maturity is about. Maybe this is what honesty is about. Be honest with myself. Here. We become symbols to others. Become symbols to our child, to our partner, our wives, our neighbors. We earn symbols in Freemasonry. We dress in a way that conveys it's a communication before we walk into a room, or when we walk into a room across a crowded room, we can see and we can know more about that man who I may not have met previous, but I have in a way. Here, this is from 1816. The sacred law. That used to be enough to turn me off, roll my eyes, like, oh dear, here we go with this drivel again. But that was back in the day when I was underestimating, when I was failing to listen. Oh, I could hear, but I wasn't listening. Well, I know I'm not the only one in the craft that suffers that. The sacred law is the guide to our conduct. This, in every degree, we inculcate. Remember, it's 1816, and he's trying to make a point. People didn't talk like this back in the day, but they wrote like this. To God, our neighbor, and ourselves are the duties in the code contained. And he who regulates his conduct by these duties is best esteemed among Masons. To view the Supreme Being as the Father of the universe and the source whence all blessings flow is the prime tenet of our profession. All right, here's a point, I guess, but depends. If I'm going to swallow that one, it depends what he means by it. Hence, we are taught to supplicate his protection in every disaster and with reverence to impress his name upon our tablet as a marked symbol of our veneration. In a disaster, I'm more inclined to roll up my sleeves and see whether I can be useful or not rather than invoking the name of anybody. It's more, I'll get around to that eventually, but, you know, hand me that tool. What can I do? Where can I be useful? What's needed? That's disaster. The interests of our neighbor we consider to be inseparable from our own. I think that that's a challenge, isn't it? Love thy neighbor as thyself. The only way you can do that is by truly looking into the mirror and understanding your nature. And if you're unfortunate enough to see a prick looking back at you, and think about how amazing it is, how wonderful it is to live with you. If you sadly have to impose your temper on somebody else in order to make yourself feel whole, or you have the meagerness of having to try and control and dominate the conversation or the thought, and it's as if your thoughts and your mind and your mood are supreme. That's what's looking back at you. Did you live with you? Probably not. And you wonder why that kind of a notion is out there but doesn't predominate jack, doesn't do anything. I speak with some experience, having met that kind of fellow in the final stages when the reality of life has wakened them. And it does. Not one of you who has that attitude will lie there on his deathbed trying to control what's going on in the room. Oh, no. It'll be that, oh, what have I done? Yeah, don't be a good time to feel sorry for yourself or to ask the question. Well, ask it now. What are you doing? Grow up. Your temper tantrum, it's embarrassing. Acting like a child, get control of yourself. You walk into a room and you have to, nobody can challenge or have another thought except yours. Is that it? Or the people around you that are closest to you, they have to accept everything you say verbatim. They cannot stray and have their own opinion. Really? That's a bit dishonest. This is what Preston's talking about, but my creator is understanding. It's there. My creator is there to help inspire. It inspires the genius. It inspires the connection. How do I connect the mathematics with the music, with the beauty around me? Well, it's there if you look for it. No, I can't impose that on you, nor would I try. If you don't have that, well, that's on you. If you don't appreciate it or embrace the aesthetic of life, What part of the ritual have you been listening to? What part have you been trying to digest and understand? We get hit over the head with that one. Arts and sciences. Deep dive. Hence, in social union, we live. All nations are our friends, and every climate is our home. This is considered radical, isn't it? All those niches, all, you know, the guy that is fussing around trying to impose a sense of greater military might than he has. If he can get into, the head games, whether it's the chess master or the general, field generals, or I suppose some weak-kneed politician, they think they've mastered it, creating monsters. We want to demonize that person, and then we have reason to be fearful, to justify our own weakness, our own apprehension, and then we can we'll find stability in that. We'll galvanize the world around us, the people around us. But all we need is a target. All we need is a scapegoat. All we need is a bigoted attitude. Make assumptions. The world is a better place without them. We're the supreme. Now, masonry doesn't really do that. I had to wonder, and I think it's reasonable to ask, is Masonry seen as the ultra-right wing? Well, far from it. Far from it. The ultra-right wing would have difficulty looking into the mirror, navel-gazing, following these kind of ethics and responses. In social union we live. Harmony. Not rightness and correctness. No. Harmony. How do you sit down with somebody that's saying something absolutely outrageous and trying to understand where the ideas are formed and what formed the ideas and re-examine them? Often the crazy ideas fall apart when we examine them. Rash ideas certainly do. Oh, we get people that can't change their minds. Can't change their minds. Whether, you know, where I am, we refer to that as stupidity. Can't change their minds and won't change the topic. Phew, lovely. They were always there. There are not very many of them in any given crowd. I mean, a million people, there's what, one or two. Well, all right. So we have a room for one or two of those folks in our culture. They don't amount to much, but, you know, and they're loud and, you know, often be insulting under their breath, but until they feel emboldened and come out in numbers. It's like anarchists trying to organize. Just think about that. Think about that. The blessings of life, says Preston, we enjoy in peace and tranquility. And while we use, we never abuse the bounties of providence. So, we don't abuse. Well, does that mean we don't slaughter our neighbors in the name of the Creator? No. Ouch. Did I say that out loud here? It actually come out with... Yeah. I don't know. Somebody made me say that. That couldn't possibly be me. It made too much sense. Thank you. That'll do. That'll have to do, won't it? We're time to wrap up the show today. More questions? Hmm? Oh, here in Upper Canada, I want you not to, don't fret too much about what's going on around us. What's happening is it's a natural outcome. This is a process that we began a long, long time ago. It may, if we're fortunate, be an opportunity to correct. It makes us ask, are we doing something wrong? Well, not a bad question to ask. I think that requires a little more than being defensive or posturing. That's not a yes or no or black and white kind of a question. Of course, it's like saying, can we improve on that? Well, yeah. Can we improve? Well, the evolution of masonry where I am is growing just like it is where you are. It is a growth. It is aspiring. And in that sense, it's innovative. But we also know it, this innovation, as being consistent with Masonic values. And with that sense of creator, not to be pithy about it. It's not it was deliberate that we, deliberately stated we weren't going to narrow this to just a Christian faith. Deliberate. Why? I would like to think it's because we were bright enough to realize that Christianity was derivative. All religions, we could say, in some sense of derivative. Maybe we're looking at the single tribe, tribalism being what it is. Maybe we're looking at one tribe, this planet, and we are always wondering if we're going to meet another tribe from another planet, aren't we? And we're wondering, are they going to be like us? Are they going to be rash and jumpy? Probably. Are they going to share an intellect? Well, hopefully they will be different, so we can learn more about ourselves by understanding the difference. That difference. Masonry makes sense. It makes sense in a world that often pulls us in different directions. To be a good Mason is to offer understanding, make it look easy by rising above it, being the bigger man, rise above the fray. Oh, the sharp-tempered, we can't stop the curmudgeons, we can't stop the distemper until those boys do it for themselves. And even then, I don't know if they're capable. I haven't really seen that. They can be embarrassed into acting properly. Fearing them, using fear or control, this isn't, we've gone beyond command and control. Yeah, it makes me laugh to even think about that. But gone way beyond that. We're looking at quality of the experience. And that means we polish our shoes and press our pants and extend our hospitality through our ritual and our table afterwards. I look forward to sitting down at a table with each and every one of you at some point. In the meantime, you'll commit those random acts of Masonic kindness. It's like the original pay it forward. and do it with a smile. Make it appear easy. I'm going to get out of here with a little Ron Carter today and Thank you very much for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to being with you again soon. Ciao. Bella.